We've had a neighbour murdered 100 yards up the road. We've had a neighbour stabbed in his own home. They caught the stabber in my backyard. And they will say, well, let us see your paperwork. And so they'll pull out their refugee papers and they'll give it to the policeman. And the policeman will tear it up in front of their face and throw it on the ground and say, you're not legal anymore, now you're illegal. If you don't pay me, then I'm going to take you and lock you up in prison. Our government legalized pornography, child pornography. This might sound weird to our Western Christian friends, but it's very normal in Africa that if you've been in sin, that you come up before the church and you admit your sin and you ask the congregation also to forgive you. He said, well, I've been stealing from the white people. And the pastor said to him, that's not a sin, you can go sit down.
Hello, and welcome to the In Touch Mission International Podcast, where you get to hear directly from ITMI partners. I'm your host, Summer Kelly. This episode is a little different than some of the others in the past. In this one, ITMI's director, Steve Evers, is taking the lead on the interview, and he's talking with ITMI's Charles Van Wyk. Charles is a South African ITMI partner and a veteran missionary. Charles' ministry is focusing on establishing what he calls covenant communities. You'll hear him talk about those in the interview, and that's communities that follow Jesus. So what that entails is reaching out with the gospel, discipling and teaching these communities to follow Jesus in every area of their lives. And a lot of times this starts with the youth in a community, and that ends up opening the doors to reaching their families. Although I was in the room for the interview, I honestly spent most of the time with my jaw dropped, trying to just process what Charles was saying and the stories he was telling. It's really hard to fathom that some of these things actually really happened. So let's get right into part one of Steve's interview with Charles. Steve and Charles, welcome to the ITMI podcast. I'm so glad you're here today. We're going to have a lot of fun.
Great. Thank you, Summer. Good to be with you.
Great to be here again.
So I am going to just jump right into this, and I'm going to ask you, Charles, just tell us a little bit about life in South Africa.
All right. In South Africa, we've did away with apartheid a couple of years ago, and we have a whole new dispensation in the country now, which is very much communist inspired. And so we've seen a lot of things falling to pieces in our country. It's been a tough ride for everybody. And probably the most challenging thing that we're dealing with that the government's trying to do now is they're talking about registering all the churches in the whole country, and they're also wanting to register all preachers. And so that's going to be a big challenge for us. They tried this many years ago when Nelson Mandela was still alive, and they tried to get all the churches to register with them, and there wasn't a single church in the whole of South Africa that would register. Everybody refused point blank. But, you know, as life has been going on and they're getting more control of different parts of life, we're seeing now that they're retrying this whole thing again. And that'll be a real struggle, especially for the ITMI missionaries, all of us in South Africa, because, we're not going to be able to fall into the government's sanctioned churches, which will probably be the liberal, theologically unconservative, for want of a better word, churches that are pro-government and backing the government's communist policies. And so that whole world of theology is often called liberation theology. The whole idea is that it's based on socialism. And if Jesus Christ was alive today, he would have had an AK-47 and he would have been fighting for a just political system with terrorists. That's basically the idea of it. And so it'll be a big challenge for us. And so that's a big thing that we need to be careful of and that we have to be aware of and then fight so that it doesn't happen.
Charles, it's obvious that you have a bit of an accent. We Americans have a slightly different one. How did this happen?
Yes, well, actually, I'm not the one with the accent. You and Summer are the ones with the accent on this podcast right now. So what happened was we also had a war with Britain many, many years ago. And the only challenge is that we lost the war. And so we were forced to keep the British kind of accent. And you guys could do whatever you liked. And I mean, you didn't even stop there. You started driving on the wrong side of the road just to irritate all the British and, you know, started talking about gas instead of petrol, and then you did away with the metric system, you know, all that kind of thing. So, you know, you guys are just unbelievable.
Yeah, I think we're rebels.
Exactly. Bunch of revolutionaries.
Yeah. Tell us, Charles, what is something that we Americans might not know about South Africa?
There's some terrible things going on in South Africa right now. We have over 18,000 murders a year in South Africa. We have terrible things like one of the big curses on our nation is baby rapes. Just before I left Cape Town, another baby was raped under 9 months old. And these little babies have to go in for reconstructive surgery. And the reason they're being raped is because witch doctors are telling men that if they have sex with a baby or a virgin, very young girl, that they can be cured of their HIV positive status. And so this is the kind of nonsense that goes around in a society that hasn't been Christianized. The gospel hasn't affected every area of life. And it's so interesting. I mean, I was driving in an Uber to the airport today in Colorado Springs. And this young lady was cross-questioning me about South Africa. And I said to her, you know, your nation is so Christianized that even the worst pagans would think that is a terrible idea. So she said to me, oh boy, even our prisoners wouldn't be happy with such an affair. She said, in fact, if a baby molester had to go to prison here, they'd have to keep him away from everybody else because the others will want to kill him. That's how detestable it is to molest a child in Christianized America. Even the prisoners, for goodness sakes, even the prisoners think this is absolutely horrendous. Yet, we have leaders in South Africa, what we call some gormers, telling men this is the way to get rid of their HIV positive status. And so we've seen a lot of upheaval in the country, a lot of social chaos, people going out, burning buses, murdering people from other countries that are working in South Africa, saying they're stealing their jobs from them. We, by God's grace, we've just bought a vehicle for Zimbabwe. We bought it in a city, Durban, in South Africa. We had to pay extra money to a security company to get the car through two towns in South Africa where there were riots going on. So we had to pay private security to get them there, get the cars into Zimbabwe, and then when we got into Zimbabwe, they stole the petrol and the spare wheel and charged over 100% import duties on a 20-year-old vehicle. So that just gives you a bit of an idea of how things work. Everything is under the table. Nobody stands by their work. They don't do it to God's glory. Everybody tries to steal whatever they can. So just with regards to my own family, we've had cars stolen on both sides of our house. We've had a neighbor murdered 100 yards up the road. We've had a neighbor stabbed in his own home. They caught the stabber in my backyard. The local shop down the road has been held up multiple times with guys with guns. And so this is the way we live. So we live with big security gates, burglar bars, big dogs, big guns, and pray that we can get on with the work that God's called us to do.
You mentioned something about Cape Town. Cape Town is one of the most beautiful cities in the world.
Yes.
Cape Town is just the jewel of Africa. But I think you mentioned something about last weekend there were a number of murders.
That's
How many
right.
murders in the Cape in the Cape?
That's right. We had 43 murders just in one weekend in Cape Town. And just to give you an idea of how lovely Cape Town is, I met a pilot in Colorado Springs at the airport, and we were walking, chatting. You were showing me where to go. I was a bit lost. Very difficult, very easy to get lost in America at the airports here. Yeah? I mean, your airports have trains running in them. Goodness gracious. You know, our trains, first of all, don't work, but our trains run between cities, not inside airports. And and he said to me, he said, I have flown all over Africa. And he said, there's only one city in the whole of Africa that I would ever, ever consider living in, and that's Cape Town. So it just gives you an idea of the beauty. This is an American speaking to me. He's seen the beauty of our mountains and our beaches, the sea, the hiking trails, the outdoor life. It's really a beautiful city, and this is the kind of thing that's happening there, you know. The challenge we have in Africa is we, the Christians, haven't discipled the nations as God's told us to. That's the bottom line, Steve. And the only way we can see any semblance of Western Christian civilization is to call the people to repentance and to the gospel. There is nothing else. It's surely not going to be fixed by the politicians. You know, they just stir up racial hatred and chaos in the country all the time to try and gain votes for themselves. And the country's been run completely into the ground. They're wanting to tax the churches now. They want to, because there's just no money for anything. They've completely stolen the country rotten, the communists. They're trying to control our education. They're trying to control our justice system. They're just getting everywhere. You need a license. It could be the same in America, but I mean, if you want to be a locksmith, you need a license to be a locksmith. You know, they're just controlling every facet of society.
You mentioned something about education in a socialistic communist environment and the whole goal of it. Share that.
Yes, the whole idea of communism is to control every facet of society and to control the worldview. They literally want to dictate to you how to think. Literally, not just your actions. They want to control how you think. They've put structures into place in South Africa so that if you're a homeschooler, you can't even get into a private college without jumping through their hoops. Which, I'll give you an idea, is they don't answer their phones. They don't answer their emails for 3 or 4 months. By the time you get their emails and you've put your information in, the classes have started, the new year is on, and you've been left out. That's the bottom line. So that's the kind of chaos you have. And then if the private colleges don't enforce the hoop jumping for you as a student to get into the college, then the government will remove their license to operate. And so they'll just go bankrupt. They'll have to close down. And so this is the kind of control they got on everything. The one good thing about South Africa, which is really surprising, is that under the apartheid government, homeschooling was banned. And so when the new government came in, they literally did everything the opposite of the apartheid government. And so they actually legalized homeschooling. You know, praise God for his grace in such strange circumstances. But now they've realized that this isn't working towards their communist goals. And so now they're talking about forcing us to do certain curriculum, us paying a license fee to the government to be able to homeschool, and they'll appoint somebody to come check up on us, I think it's 2 or 3 times a year, to come inspect to see if the children are being homeschooled properly. So it's this kind of control in every facet. But again, another lining on the dark clouds is the justice system. The government is trying to control the justice system now, and there's been a massive backlash. So in 20-something years, they haven't got control of the justice system yet, although you can see their dirty hands in it every now and again. But it's got to a stage now, whoever wants to sue the government, they win their case, because the judges and that are so against the government trying to control them and trying to get their dirty fingers onto the justice system. So it's really funny.
The justice system is not blind in South Africa.
No, they're wide awake and they don't want to be interfered with. They want to stay completely independent. So praise God for that.
Back to the educational. You shared earlier about a friend of yours that had another teacher that was in a school.
Yes.
And share that.
I have a friend who is now teaching in China. He was teaching in a small town in South Africa, and he told me once that the whole goal of the South African education system is to dumb the children down so much that they can't think for themselves, and therefore they can be used as cannon fodder. And by that he means they can become politically manipulated for the goals of the government in the future. In other words, they will be dumb voters. They'll just vote the way they're told in the future.
This is a pretty brazen statement.
It is. But at the moment, we also have the South African government trying to take over the farms from the so-called white farming establishment, the commercial farmers. And we've seen that even in Zimbabwe, they dumb down the education, and then they keep you hungry. And so in Zimbabwe, we've seen when Robert Mugabe was around, his army officials would drive a truckload of food into the town square in Bulawayo, the second biggest city in the country. They would drop the food in the town square before elections and tell the people, you can eat this food if you vote for us. And they didn't vote for the government in that town. They voted for the opposition. So the soldiers came in, put the food on the back of the trucks and drove off. And so that's ultimately what happens in a communist state. You keep the people dumb, you keep them hungry, and you got a bunch of people that you can manipulate as much as you like. And so back to my friend that was teaching in South Africa, he had the Minister of Education's nephew teaching with them. And he told the nephew exactly what he told me, and the nephew was very upset with him. He said, oh, you're talking absolute nonsense, and he got very upset and worked up about it. Well, a couple of weeks later, some terrible things happened at the school with the education stuff, the subjects they were teaching the children. And so the Minister of Education's nephew phones the minister, who is actually his aunt, and explains what's going on and says, there's this dumbing down going on. These things are not working out. We have to put structures in place to teach these children to think properly. They don't even think. They don't even know what questions to ask, for goodness gracious. You know, what's going on? And his aunt told him to keep quiet, mind his own business, and get on with his job. That he must not come and dictate to them how things should be running in the schools. And so there's a whole philosophy that is anti-Christ, that is anti-godly, Western, Christian, biblical worldview thinking. And it's not, you know, it's one thing when you can sit back and say, well, they don't know what they're doing. No, this is a structured plan to undermine Christianity. When you want to license pastors and license churches, it's not because of the one pastor who did something stupid. It's because they want to control the evangelical, hardcore Bible-believing Christians who are, and especially those who will not remain silent when they see the wickedness, the lies, and the deceit that's going on in the nation. They're happy with what we call evangelifish. Those are the people who never say a word. They just warm the seat on a Sunday morning in church, sing nice songs, but they'll never speak out against, you know, the chaos in society, the stealing of the government officials, the abortions that are taking place, the pornography. Our government legalized pornography, child pornography, they legalized. If it was for scientific research or for artistic evaluation. And we had a massive increase, hundreds of percent of increase in the child sexual abuse rate when they legalized child pornography in South Africa. And so what's happened is you become a state with just so many laws, but nothing gets applied. Nobody obeys the laws. But the point is, if they want to get you, if you're an evangelical preaching man who stands up against the wicked, they want to get you. They can throw 1,000 laws at you. And that's the big challenge we're sitting with in South Africa right now.
So the South African government has messed up the education. They've messed up the environment. The crime is horrific. The churches, they're trying to take control of them. How about the police? Are the police on your side? Are the police helping?
We got to a stage in South Africa where nobody even wants a policeman in their home. I've got friends that have crimes perpetrated against them and they don't even report it to the police. They want nothing to do with the police. Even in the squatter camp in Stonehill where we work, the young people there tell us the police only come in there to look after the bad guys. In other words, the people who come and steal are coming under police protection. Because when they get caught by the community, then the police are there to take the people away, to arrest them quickly. And I'll tell you literally what happens. We had four people come in a car, and they went to the local shop in the squatter camp in Stonehill. They held the man up with guns, and they're stealing him rotten. And the people are very upset about this because there aren't many shops around. There's only one decent little store there, and this is their livelihood. They don't want to spend $2 to drive into the town center to go get food every time they want something to eat. And so the community caught these four people. As far as I know, two of them managed to escape. They had another two left. And they said they held these people captive. And then when they stopped the crime from going ahead, then the police all of a sudden arrived on the scene to come protect the bad guys. They've just had enough of this. They're sick and tired of their girls being raped. We had one young girl, she wasn't part of our ministry, but in the community there, she was raped and murdered. They found her body by the railway tracks, and she there was a stick next to her. Her body had been impaled. We had one young boy who was shot dead over a cigarette. And so they've had enough of this nonsense. And so they trying to fix things up themselves, you know, without the help of the police and the government.
So, Charles, the press never tells us these stories. They don't tell us what it's like to live in South Africa in this environment. You were sharing something about your own pastor. Your own pastor has constant struggles with even trying to keep his electricity on, and it's not because he's not paying his bills. It's just the system.
Yes, it's just the way the system works. They are incompetent. They're useless. They wreck everything they touch. If the communists could only maintain what they were given, by the previous government, we'd be happy with that. But they're not. They destroy everything. So the defense force is down the drain. The police are down the drain. One policeman left and got a job in Australia, and they interviewed him in South Africa from Australia. And then he opened up and he said, when I go on do beat, when I go and do my work as a policeman at the police offices, he says, there was only one other person out of 40 to 50 policemen that I could trust that was working with me.
What does that mean?
That means that they will try and benefit themselves in every which way they possibly can. They will steal from the population. If things get handed into them, they will not put it through the system. They'll keep it for themselves. If there's cash missing and it comes in, they'll steal it. I've got friends that are refugees from other countries in South Africa. The police will stop them anytime and demand cash from them. And they will say, well, let us see your paperwork. And so they'll pull out their refugee papers and they'll give it to the policeman. And the policeman will tear it up in front of their face and throw it on the ground and say, you're not legal anymore, now you're illegal. If you don't pay me the 1,000 rand, the $140, then I will, or $80, whatever it is, then I'm going to take you and lock you up in prison. And that's the way they work.
Sure, we struggle, even with the crime and even with the destruction of our own society from what many of us knew it was before, we struggle with understanding, why is South Africa like this? Why has it gotten to where it is?
Yes. The big challenge that we have in South Africa is the fact that we as Christians haven't discipled the nations. Our churches are very, how can I say this? They're very thin on the ground as far as discipleship goes. So there's a lot of evangelism going on. Any Tom, Dick, and Harry who wants to be a pastor starts claiming to be a pastor, and the next thing you'll have a couple of followers, and they'll put up a tin shack somewhere, and that'll be the church. And that's the way we operate in Africa. You know, I don't work with every church in the whole of Africa, but there's a lot of churches that don't understand the gospel, and so they have a kind of a truncated gospel that is being spread around.
Blended with local tradition.
Exactly. And so they blend it with ancestral worship, paganism, and that's where we have the big challenges. So actually the biggest church in the whole of South Africa, I think they're 6 to 8 million strong, called the Zionists. They have ancestral worship in their services. And so they say, well, we worship the God of the Christians, but we do it through our ancestors. Whereas, you know, we evangelicals would communicate with God through Jesus Christ. And so these are big challenges for us as the body of Christ. But it also cuts down on your discipleship, the application of God's word to every area of life. And so we in South Africa can literally, your pastors and people that are in parliament who claim to be Christians will go into parliament, they'll vote for abortion at parliament, but the day before that they were singing worship praises to God in the church. And they can't see that God's word actually needs to apply to their political life as well, or to their business life. I mean, stealing, theft, it just goes crazy in Africa. It's all over the place. And Cosmo, my colleague up in Zimbabwe, said to me he visited a church in Zimbabwe. And it's very normal. This might sound weird to our Western Christian friends, but it's very normal in Africa that if you've been in sin, that you come up before the church and you admit your sin and you ask the congregation also to forgive you because you've taken Christ's name in vain or dragged his name through the dirt. And so one young man went up into the church, up into the front of the church, and he said he's very sorry, he wants forgiveness from the congregation and from God because he's been stealing. And so the pastor said to him, well, who did you steal from? And so this is in Zimbabwe, a black church, and he said, well, I've been stealing from the white people. And the pastor said to him, that's not a sin, you can go sit down. And so there again, you know, it's structural society not looking at God's word. You shall not steal. Doesn't mean you can steal from white people if you're black or from black people if you're white. It also means that the government isn't allowed to steal farms from the people who have paid for the farms. And there again, it also means that the churches aren't allowed to steal from people. And there's lots of lies and treachery in certain churches in Africa where people literally have got themselves into massive debt for their families because they've been told that God will give them 1,000% return on their money, and they will literally have to go take loans to pay the promised money to the church, and their family and children will be going without food because of this. And so we have a real hodgepodge there. And to be strong on teaching what the Bible calls the gospel of the kingdom, we have a king, we have a kingdom, the kingdom has rules, and we need to abide by God's word. We need to apply it in every area of life. We're the bad guys. You know, we're the ones that are going against the government. We're speaking about against the treachery in the churches and in the civil arena. And so it makes us open to all kinds of challenges from people because we're not towing the line.
Well, that's it for part one of this three-part series. Thanks for being with us today. We really appreciate you listening and hearing our stories and being with us, both as a listener and as a teammate. We'll be back next time with part two of Steve's interview with Charles, where Charles shares some very interesting and encouraging stories of how your partnership with Charles is addressing the issues Charles talked about in part one, including a few stories of something people in Africa are observing about what happens when people turn from animism and follow Jesus. See you next time.